an expression of compassion for me, I would advise all of you, don't age. Stay young so that you can cope with all the challenges of life. Let us pray. Father God, we ask you to equip us as your servants for the work to which you have called us, so that daily we can confront the challenges of society, the challenges that come to us from the enemy, so that we can speak your truth in response to the questions that the unsaved may ask from time to time. Grant this, O Lord, we pray, for the sake of the expansion of your kingdom and the joy of your people. Amen. The purpose of this message is to help to equip you a little further so that you can respond to the challenges of society. You may, in your workplace or your neighborhood or in your social relations, try to share the gospel with others. And they, in turn, will confront you with questions like, okay, so I'm convinced that your God made the world and everything in the universe. But how about your God? Who made him? And unless you convince me that someone legitimate made your God, it'll be hard for me to follow. And 1 Peter chapter 3 reminds us, always have an answer ready for those who ask you to explain the joy and the power that you have within you. But do it with gentleness and respect. And so we as Christians, especially in this day and age, really need to be equipped to confront the culture and respond to the culture with effectiveness and gentleness. In John 1, 1 to 4, says, in the beginning was a word. The word was with God. The word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, but without him, nothing was made that has been made. So all things were made by God, but who made God? It's a very popular question, and people usually come at us with rather difficult and testing, sometimes testy questions. So let us do our best to understand this. When we ask the question, who made God, we are confronting ourselves and others with very interesting issues. We may agree that God made all things, but who made him? The uncreated God that we serve is not the uncreated God that the world serves. He made all things, but he was not made. The hardest questions of life, we're told, come from little children. There's a four-year-old young man who came to his mother one day and asked her, Mom, where is the mind in the brain? How many of you could answer that? Where is the mind in the brain? The mother gave the four-year-old a very effective response. Go ask your grandfather. And so this little boy went to the grandfather and asked him, Grandpa, where is the mind in the brain? The grandfather responded, why do you think the mind is in the brain? How did you arrive at that idea? There is also the story, my daughter was confronted by this son, he said, and then the son came to me and asked me the second question. Grandpa, who made God? Who made God? This generation goes on, this gentleman goes on to explain for us that the toughest questions in the world come from young children, and we have to be equipped to respond to them. So how would you answer this question if your young child comes to you and asks you, who made God? His answer goes something like this. Who made God? No one did. He was not made. He made all things. So here's a catch, a little detail that we must try not to miss. When we use the word made, M-A-D-E, we are talking about something that God made. God made, make. Before God started to make, there was no making. The whole idea of making started with God. When we use the word begin, how did God begin? We must recognize that God created begin. Are we together? All of that started with God. God always existed, said Grandpa. Only things that had a beginning, like the world, need a maker. If a thing or person has no need for a beginning, then there is no beginning for that person. So God did not need to be made. Who made God? Sometimes we say, God made himself. That's a very subtle kind of thinking. God made himself. So there's God and there's himself. But so God had to exist before himself so that he could make himself. That means God was kind of schizophrenic. There's part of him here and part of him there. So this part existed before that part. It's a contradiction. God is a whole. God was not made. Now, there are some inquisitive humans engaged with this question of who made God. Where did God come from? God did not come from. God was an eternity, all eternity. He didn't begin. He had no beginning. He created the whole idea of beginning. Now, in the Bible, actually, when we speak of God being made, here is a situation that the Bible describes. A man decides to cut down a nice big tree. He cuts the limbs off, and he cuts out a nice part of the trunk, and he dressed it up and made it into a god. And he puts it on the floor and worships this god. When he has to move house, then he has to put all the furniture in his truck, including the god that he puts on the truck. Gets to the next house, takes the god out, puts it on his floor, bows down to worship it. This is only an extension of his own mind and actually an extension of Satan's mind. In the Bible, gods that are made are not called gods. In the Bible, gods that are made are called idols. The idol is an extension on the individual's personality. So, did God make himself? No. God was always there. So hard for us to perceive or grasp the idea of God being always there, because we are children of time. God was eternal, always existed in eternity. We have to understand that we wouldn't think like this in terms of time if God had not, out of eternity, created time. So now we think in terms of time, but with God, there's no such thing as past, present, or future. When God looks at reality, he sees everything at the same time. It's a little like being in an aircraft traveling across the 401 from Montreal all the way down to Windsor, checking the traffic flow. And he's able to tell you in your car what's happening in Windsor, because he can see it from where he is up there. So we have to understand how great a God that we have. So, did God make himself? God had no beginning, and he has no end. Above all, we must understand God. God created everything, being out, not himself created by anything, but being eternal. We could not speak of create or creating or beginning if God had not made these things. Are we together? Okay. The idea of create implies beginning, but God did not begin. He made begin. All these issues have to do with the world, remembering that God created the beginning. Okay. God has always been, we said. All the things we talk about, like create and time and beginning, ending, relate not to eternity, but to time. And again, we have to respect the intelligence of little children. The hardest question, then, they ask. We have to prepare ourselves for them. There are, of course, people who do not believe in God. And so they do not believe in eternity and so on. These persons we call atheists. These persons believe that the universe was not made, that it was always there. They believe in the first law of thermodynamics, which says energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So everything is consistent, and we need to be able to respond to them. Since the position is not based on observation, we have to understand that this is a chosen philosophy, that everything was always calm. It really says nothing about the beginning or eternal nature of the universe. As far as we know, energy had remained constant, it says. Furthermore, the second law of thermodynamics says the universe is running out of energy, which suggests that there is some kind of end coming for the universe unless we respond wisely. It also says that the world was created if it is running down. It's a little like driving along in your car and you happen to check the odometer readings, and suddenly it says to you, your gas is running low. So you better stop at the gas station and put some more gas in your car. Otherwise, you're going to be stalled. And then you or somebody else decides to fill the gas tank, which means the tank was filled in the beginning or was filled previously by something. And now it's running down and it's being filled by someone other than the gas tank itself. So there is a God, the God who created all things, who established all things, and set in motion all things. A human person like God, person of a different nature to the car, filled the tank. And now you can fill it again because he's there, and you proceed accordingly. A stumbling block for many of us is how God can be three persons and yet one person at the same time. How can God be three and one at the same time? Now, it's very wise not to try to apply to the things of eternity the principles of time. You know, many of us have struggled with this Trinity idea of God. That, okay, if God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, at the same time, maybe it's like me, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a son at the same time. That helps a bit, but we have to be careful not to see God in man's image. We need to see God in God's image. Although someone has explained it like a triangle, the three sides to the triangle, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you can say this side, this side, this side, but still a triangle, three sides. You can talk about this side, or that side, you're dealing with triangle, and yet at the same time, you're dealing with the individual parts. So God expresses himself in three parts, in three aspects of his being. Now, we have to wrestle with these issues if we are going to deal with a world that is always questioning God, is always questioning the existence of God, and so on. It is not easy to do. So anyhow, God is three and one at the same time, as far as this detail is concerned. There's a man by the name of Paul Copan, C-O-P-A-N, that I read. In his article, it says, if God made the universe, who made God? Back to the beginning. He began by referring to an atheist philosopher by the name of Bertrand Russell. Some of you have read of him, who said, if everything has a cause, then God must have a cause. But what he must remember is that God is not a thing. Everything is a cause. God is personhood. God does not have a cause, doesn't have a beginning. Nothing caused him. All things have a beginning, but not God. God didn't just pop into being, actually. God has always been there. The God we serve is unique. There's no other one like him. No other one like him. So, answer for who made God? Someone might say God made himself, but that makes God schizophrenic. God was always there. Now, we need to wrestle with issues that help us in our minds to understand all of this stuff. It doesn't happen all at once. It's a journey, so to speak. God did not come from anywhere, we have to remind ourselves. No one made the creator of the universe. He was eternal, self-existing being. God is eternal, everything everlasting by nature. To understand that world, Jesus told parables, and he tried to explain the dynamics of the heavenly world by using comparison. What's a paradox? I mean, what's a parable? Para means alongside, and bola means to cast. If you want to know how long that pew is, then you can't say, well, that pew is X number of feet long. You take a tape measure. You know how long the tape measure is. You put it against the pew, and you can tell the person, this pew is X number of feet long, because you use the known to explain the unknown. So Jesus sometimes uses parables to explain to us what the world of heaven is like. And we need to study those parables and understand them clearly. So, to summarize, God did not come from anywhere. No one made the creator of the universe. He is eternal, self-existing being. Secondly, God is eternal, everlasting. As Isaiah said, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. His understanding no one can fathom. His existence is from everlasting to everlasting. As Romans 16:26 explains to us, the Lord is the eternal God. Now you either accept that or not, but that's the way it is. God is like that. God is self-existing. He revealed himself to Moses as the I am that I am. And either we accept that or not, but that's the truth. God is, by definition, always there. So logically, something has always existed, given that something does now exist, so that that which existed at the beginning created what now exists at this stage in reality. The question now is, what is the something that has been in existence always? Answer, not a thing, but a person. Not a something, but a some person. That's Almighty God. Now, question is, do you know this God as your Savior? Because when you talk with someone who does not believe in God, the argument has to lead somewhere. And it leads to the point where, what do you think of this God? Because God is your judge, and one day you will have to stand before him and give an account of your stewardship. Will you receive this God as your Savior and your Lord? No one has ever seen God, especially face to face, but Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, we have seen and known. So we cannot say we do not know God. Now, if you read through some of the stories in the New Testament, you will have some interesting questions. One question I struggle with is this. Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration saw Jesus transfigured, and Moses and Elijah there. So they knew, Peter, James, and John knew, that Jesus Christ was God. But at the trial of Jesus, Peter said, I don't know the man. How do you explain that? Peter saw it. Peter saw the resurrection, the resurrected Christ. Peter saw Jesus raising people from the dead. Peter experienced Jesus. He started out with the catch of fish. So Peter couldn't catch fish, although he was a professional fisherman, but Jesus did it. He walked in water with Jesus. And yet when it came to the trial of Jesus, he said, I don't know him. Does that bother you? We have to be sure, though, that we do not follow the example of Peter. We know who Jesus Christ is. We know who God is. We have experienced this God. Let us live accordingly. Is that enough? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that through divine revelation in Jesus Christ, we know you, Lord God Almighty. No one has ever seen you, Lord, especially face to face, especially today. But Lord God, you exist in the flesh. You've expressed yourself in Jesus Christ. Help us then to live according to what we know on the basis of you. Because in the beginning, you were there. And out of you came everything else. Help us to live accordingly. Glory be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. And Lord, we ask you to use us to explain your truth to all people who'd ask us to give them reason for the hope that we have within us. Yet to do it with gentleness and courtesy and respect. Lord, we commit ourselves anew to the expansion of your kingdom. And so we pray in the name of Jesus Christ this prayer, being fully committed to the expansion of your kingdom and maintaining his reputation. Amen. Does anybody have a question? You got 1 minute. Thank you. I'll try to do better next time.